is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go!
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go!
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go!
Now, here's Adam, Dave, and Jamie.
Well, I lied to you earlier in the week. I said that Dave and I were going to be doing a Wednesday podcast. Instead, you get the trio. You get me, Dave, and Jamie. Welcome to Fantasy Football Today. It is Friday early, or late morning, I'll say. Late morning, and you'll hear this later on Friday. Big weekend
Adam.
Plans, anybody? What?
Adam,
what?
Tell everybody why we've got the late week podcast with three
really?
Of us instead of two of us.
Must I?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can tell them or I can tell them.
It's probably funnier if you tell them.
Adam screwed up.
Yeah, that's true.
We had a whole podcast set and ready
wait,
to go.
Wait, let me guess. He forgot to hit record.
I don't know if he forgot to hit
wait,
record.
Wait, let me guess. He had you on mute the whole time.
No. I don't.
No, wait, let me guess. He had tape over his mouth.
My guess is
definitely not.
There were certain elements of Wednesday's podcast where I ripped on him and made fun of him that he didn't like, and he decided to scrap the whole thing. And as a result, here we are, Friday, can't leave the office early, although I still will, and my guess is Jamie will too.
No, I have to work.
Can't get our weekend started early.
No, I have to work.
Okay. And we're going to sit here and do the podcast. I'm not doing this for you, Adam. I'm doing this for the people.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. You guys sat here for an hour and nobody heard it?
Correct. I did not publish it. We did a podcast that way.
Not only that, we kicked people out of the room that we were podcasting in. I walked in. They were sitting. They were doing their work. It was hardworking employees here at the office. It was Mike Long. It was Nick Costas. They were chugging along, getting ready for a very important video production. And I kicked them out of here for the podcast, and I wasted an hour of my life because Adam didn't like something.
No, that's not what happened. I had an audio issue. I couldn't air the show. It was very embarrassing, and I'm very sorry about it. But you know what? We'll do an even better one today. So here we go.
This is already pretty good.
It's great. Yeah,
yeah.
Excited about it. So anyone moving up or down in your rankings lately, guys? Any movers and shakers?
I made a move in my rankings today, in fact.
Ooh, see? We wouldn't have had this on the Wednesday show.
Nick Folk out of my kickers. There it is. He's gone from the Jets, so he's out of the rankings. Do not draft Nick Folk as of now.
Okay, anything else?
No, that's it. Nothing's happening. It's dead.
Okay, that's fine.
Oh, yeah, I moved Julius Thomas up.
Right.
Good for you.
Yeah, I don't think Dave.
You're
reacted,
believing, huh?
I believe in Adam Gase. His quadrant of tight ends.
Quadrant?
No.
His four tight ends last year.
Okay.
That can't be.
Would have been
it.
The number 10 tight end in football.
Is a quadrant a group of four?
I don't know. I couldn't think of the word.
I don't think so.
Well, how about foursome?
There
his
you
foursome
go.
Would have been the number 10 tight end in fantasy last year.
And I'm sure his foursome next year will finish in the top 10.
Once you get past really, to me, there's 11 tight ends that are good.
I agree.
12 through whatever number you want to put it at is just a pile of poo. So there's a guy that is reunited with his former coordinator who, when he was with said former coordinator, was one of the best red zone threats in football. There's 9 touchdowns that have to be replaced from Kenny Stills because he's not coming back to Miami, most likely. So where are those 9 touchdowns going to go? Is it going to go to Jarvis Landry, who's all of a sudden going to go from a 13-touchdown guy over 3 years to a 7-to-10-touchdown guy? Probably not. Is it Devontae Parker, who's got 7 touchdowns over 2 seasons? Is he going to take a dramatic leap? I hope so, but I don't know if that's the case. I think Julius Thomas, Adam and I talked about this on our last show. I think he can, if he stays healthy and gives you 12 to 14 games, because I don't think 16 games is realistic for him, but if he gives you 12 games, which is what he basically did in Denver in those 2 years, if he gives you that, I think 8 touchdowns is realistic for him. And so if he scores 8 touchdowns in this offense, when Deion Sims had 4 and the group combined for 6, I think if he gets you 8 touchdowns with the 400 to 600 yards that he'll put on top of it, that's going to put him close to a top 12 tight end.
It's a good argument.
So he's not in my top 12, but he's in my top 15.
You're saying it's a late round flyer.
Oh, absolutely.
And if the Dolphins start week one against a team that sucks at safety or linebacker, then the matchup is
sure.
Right and yada, yada, yada.
Streamer.
You can start your season streaming Julius Thomas. I can buy into that. And I can even buy into him getting 8 touchdowns in 12 games. The question I've got for you is, I have 2 questions, Jamie. And it's just if you know it or not. And if you don't, we'll look it up. Number one, how many of Kenny Stills' touchdowns were in the red zone?
I don't know.
Number two, how many touchdowns went to tight ends last year? Into the foursome of tight ends. How
6.
Many? 6?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
let's say you get six.
I would almost say that that's the number that we should count on. Either way, no one's saying, oh, yeah, Julius Thomas, round 10. This is a very late pick, if at all.
Gase over his last 4 years as a coordinator and coach. So the group of Dolphins tight ends.
Won't say foursome. Why not?
It's foursome. Number 10, tight
Quartet.
End. The combination of Martellus Bennett and Zach Miller, number 7 in Chicago in the 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And then Thomas and Thomas in the 2 years in Denver as the coordinator, 7-3. So he gets production out of that position.
But you, like, you can't just keep doing the combination. You can't just keep doing the combination of the like, because there are going to be other tight ends that catch passes. It's not just going to be Julius Thomas.
Yes. But again, if I thought that Julius Thomas was going to be 10 or higher, I would put him 10.
Yeah.
I don't expect him to finish as a top 12 tight end.
He's
unless
a streamer.
Unless
this isn't somebody
X,
to get that
y,
excited
and Z
about.
Happens, which is him staying healthy, which is him, you know, turning back the clock. Ryan Tannehill all of a sudden becoming a 30-plus touchdown guy, because that's going to have to happen when Julius Thomas is scoring 8-plus touchdowns. Clearly, Ryan Tannehill is going to have to spread the ball around. And we can drone on about this for a long time. So, again, he's the guy who moved up in our rankings.
Quartet. I think quartet is what we...
Quartet. There you go.
Yeah,
that's the word.
What we should take out of this discussion. Hey, we got an email, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Today we're doing the wish list for the AFC West and the NFC East. I already did this show with Dave on Wednesday, but now we get Jamie's input too. And on that show on Wednesday, I came up with kind of goofy non-football wish list items for each team.
I thought this was the whole reason why we were redoing the podcast.
What?
Because these predictions suck.
I changed them a little bit. They were predictions. They were wish list items. But
whatever they were awful.
Some of them were bad. Not all of them were bad.
We're really doing this again?
We don't have to, but I think I made them a little better. So.
All right, I'm going to make an Adam Azer wish list for every bad wish that you make for this team.
So we'll do that later. And email of the day is from Chris in a suburb of Chicago. He says, I'm going to make Jamie answer this since Dave already knows the answer. Dear some combination of Conway, Goldberg, Averman, and Fulton. Do you know that, Jamie?
Bills?
No, Mighty Ducks.
Oh.
Conway, Goldberg, Averman, Fulton. Can you please tell us the key dates that organizations can start making moves such as trades, free agents, acquisitions, etc.?
Well, March 1st is the deadline for franchise and transition tags. And March 9th is the day that free agents can sign and trades can actually be finalized. So the Julius Thomas, Brandon Albert respective trades will go through on March 9th.
Okay. Now, the email from Chris is actually more interesting than that. He has 5 2017 predictions. Prediction the first, Adrian Peterson to the Giants. I say no chance.
I say it's a very realistic chance.
Not after the Josh Brown thing. I think that kind of removes them, in my opinion. PR nightmare if they take Peterson.
I don't think people are going to look at Adrian Peterson at this point and make that a sticking point with him in terms of his standing in the community.
Is this a team that spends a lot of money on running backs? When's the last time they
Rashad Jennings.
Rashad Jennings 2 years ago.
Yeah, I don't think they can afford it.
But it wasn't that much.
No, it wasn't.
By comparison to
what it was compared to what the market is now. They're not going to spend a lot on Adrian Peterson either.
How much money is Adrian Peterson going to get from anybody? $5 million?
He's going to get probably a one-year prove-it deal somewhere in the neighborhood of
$4 million. He's not signing that. He's made. He doesn't need.
He's not signing that?
He's
not going to give him a long-term deal.
A one-year $2 million deal?
At this point of his career? Okay, so it'll be a two-year deal with money front-loaded up in the first year where he's not going to see the second year.
I guarantee you he'll ask for a minimum of $5 million.
Okay, that's fair. And the team will pay him that.
Do the Giants do that?
Probably.
No, I don't think so. Well, I don't know, because if they want to bring back both Hankins and Pierre-Paul, I don't think they can afford that. And I don't see it.
Adam, there's definitely more than half the league with $30 million in cap space. The Giants are one of those teams. They can afford to do whatever they want.
All right. We want Paul Perkins. I'd be more excited about... I don't know. I guess I don't want to completely count out Peterson, but I'm not sure he's got much left.
Oh, there's 100%. It's a terrible signing, wherever he goes.
Right.
Because we don't think he's got a lot left going for himself. When's the last time he showed you that he was a great player?
2 years ago.
Yeah. It's a long time.
It is, but we've counted him out before. I don't want to completely eliminate the possibility that Peterson's still going to be good, but I think I would Okay, here's the question. Peterson goes to the Giants, and Paul Perkins is off the team. Like, Peterson's the starting running back. Or, other option, Peterson's not on the Giants, and Paul Perkins is the guy. Who would you be more excited about? Like, which player would you be more excited about if they were in the same exact situation, Paul Perkins or Adrian Peterson?
Paul Perkins. The only situation where Adrian Peterson would make me excited is if he dropped a safe on Ezekiel Elliott's head and signed
oh,
it down.
God. Safe.
Wow.
Wow.
Is it an Acme safe?
Yeah, Acme.
Yes. Is it like out in the desert landscape and Wile E. Coyote?
Yes, I have no interest in Adrian Peterson next year, wherever he signs. As a matter of fact, if Adrian Peterson signs with the Giants, that'll only make me like Paul Perkins more because his value will be extremely, his value will be at a place where I think I'll fall in love with it.
Yeah, that's how I felt about Ajayi when they signed Arian Foster.
It's how I felt about McKinnon last year.
True, yeah. Okay, prediction the second from Chris. Cutler to San Francisco, and then the third is Colin Kaepernick to the Jets. Cutler to the to the Niners and Kaepernick to the Jets.
Don't the 49ers want a long-term solution at quarterback?
They'll either go with someone young if they can't get... My guess would be the two guys that they would try and look at this point, if they can't get Cousins, because clearly that's what Kyle Shanahan would like, would be Kirk Cousins. So they can't get Cousins, and clearly Cousins at this point is trending as if he's going to be a free agent next year, would be a one-year stopgap like this. So, sure, this could certainly work out.
Okay, there was the report from Jason Lockenfora earlier in the week that the Jets might be interested in Jay Cutler.
Lockenfora has been reporting that since they signed Jeremy Bates to be their quarterback's coach, I believe quarterback's coach, on their staff. And so Bates, one of Cutler's best years, I believe his second best year, aside from the year he had with Adam Gase, was when he was with Bates in Denver?
Okay.
Maybe.
Denver, Chicago. He's been with Bates before. And so there's a lot of connecting the dots with Cutler and the Jets, because you have the Bates connection, you have the Marshall connection. You know, he would step into a situation where he would have a familiarity with Brandon Marshall and Matt Forte. So.
Yeah. Boy, if you want to get better, you should just take all the washed up players from the Chicago Bears. That is, you're ticket to the playoffs. Good for the Jets. All right. Fourth prediction from Chris. Eddie Lacy on the Raiders.
Yeah. It could happen.
It could.
I don't see it, but it could.
Would you like that? Lacy averaged 5.1 yards per carry in five games last year, just saying. He did not score a touchdown, though.
Yeah, everybody had a great rushing average with the Packers last year in that backfield. Their O-line was good. Is Eddie Lacy going to come at a cheaper price than Latavius Murray? I would say absolutely. And can they do the same things? I'd say absolutely. It's just a matter of keeping him healthy and making sure that he doesn't get out of shape. And they would continue, I would assume they would continue using a three-headed monster at running back, where Lacy would be the bowling ball, Washington and Rashard would pick up the rest of the work. And the Raiders, I guess they're comfortable with that rotation. I think they'd probably try and keep it going if Lacy was that guy there.
Okay.
But that's a move they make if they try and keep the game plan the same in their backfield without spending as much money.
Okay. Well, this also goes into the fifth prediction. Latavius Murray to the Browns. Please, no.
I can't see that happening.
No.
Okay. I mean, what's the upgrade at this point with the money that would come with it of Latavius Murray versus Isaiah Crowell? Because by all accounts, Crowell had a better year last year.
Yeah. I don't see a reason to do it. I think that'd be the wrong place to allocate your dollars if you're the Cleveland Browns. No. Other than that, pretty good stuff. Thank you, Chris, for giving us some talking points. News and notes before we get into the wish lists. Ryan Tannehill is going to be ready for OTAs. That's pretty nice news right there.
It's good for the Dolphins. So he never had surgery on the knee.
He never had surgery. They let it heal on its own. You know, and there was a lot of talk, would he or would he not need surgery? And obviously the report is good. But there was some weird language with it that this is as good as his knee will ever get. And so is it meaning like he's never going to fully be 100%, or he's back to 100% and doesn't have to worry about it? So I think until we see him out there moving around, because mobility is a big part of his game, then we won't know for sure. But clearly the Dolphins are making moves to enhance his offense by
Adding Julius Thomas.
Hopefully, you know, addressing the offensive line, because now they have to replace two guard spots with Rashrod leaving and Tunsil moving to left tackle.
And any interesting cuts other than Nick Folk?
There was an interesting signing in Kansas City. C.J. Spiller is now part of the Chiefs organization.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting. I don't think he's going to matter, but...
I wrote a column on Tyreek Hill, and just doing a lot of research on Tyreek yesterday. A lot of the speculation out of Kansas City is Jamaal Charles will not be back. And so if that's the case, because they'll save over $6 million by releasing him, then this move kind of lends itself toward, is that the direction that they're heading? Because are they trying to do some discovery before the draft on a guy who could be a role player for them? Because they're not going to make Tyreek Hill a full-time running back. Spencer Ware was relatively ineffective for the most part last year as their starter. You know what Charcandrick West is. He's kind of the same guy as Spencer Ware, but probably a little bit of a lesser talent. And so if they are going to address that position in the draft, if they do move on from Charles, who's 30 and coming off of his, you know, knee issues over the last 2 years, does Spiller offer something for them? You know, return guy.
This is it. This is his breakout year. This is the year of C.J. Spiller.
Oh, God.
First round pick.
Right? If I saw that correctly, I think he's 29 years old.
He is 29, yeah.
Yeah.
August 5th, 1987, so he'll be 30.
This is the team that needs to make a move in the draft for a running back. How much would you love it if Andy Reid had Leonard Fournette or Dalvin Cook?
Sure. And there was a, I believe it was from Albert Breer in the Monday Morning Quarterback, that Dalvin Cook's off-field issues hurt his draft stock. He doesn't really have, like, terrible off-field issues, but he does have some transgressions that I think would make some people look twice. So
I don't know. This is the same draft that's got Joe Mixon in it, and that's the one where everybody's going to look.
Yeah,
at running
but
back.
But still, if you're looking at it from
the Chiefs,
Fournette,
the
Cook,
Chiefs in particular, with Tyreek Hill and the backlash last year, you know,
right. But if the measurables are the same between Fournette and Cook, and
that could be something that
that's going to push
Fournette
ahead of him.
Yeah. Okay. C.J. Spiller with my first round pick. What was that? 2013, maybe 14. I don't know. It was one of the worst moves I ever made. So, oops. Let's go to this news and note item. So Iceland's president. Now when we talked about this on Wednesday, this was like very new breaking news. But apparently Mike and Mike talked about it. Like it's out there. But Iceland.
So punt on this.
No, it's funny.
No one cares about pineapple on pizza.
Apparently, the guy from Iceland, the president of Iceland, said he's so opposed to pineapple on pizza that he would write a law to ban it.
That's great. What's next?
Okay.
Would you drop a safe on people's heads if they ate it?
AFC West. See, we had a nice discussion about pineapple and
we
food.
Did. It mattered then. Now it doesn't matter. And honestly, it didn't really even matter then.
You got salty Dave today. Dave must have been in a good mood the other day.
Well, when you make him do it something twice, you know, I can understand it. AFC West. The wish list. This is a hybrid of Dave and Jamie's wish lists now. For Denver, a quarterback to help Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. Is that quarterback on their roster? Could it just be the guys that get better from last year?
I think if it's a wish list and we're asking for a quarterback, then it's not somebody who's already on their roster, Adam.
Well, now, what if we sprinkle like magic quarterback dust on them? Make them better.
Okay. Well, I don't know what the hell that,
is. So, that is like something you would say. Come on. Like, that is a Dave Richard thing.
Oh.
Okay, fine. I'm sorry.
Let's give the Broncos credit for getting Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders over 1,000 yards last year. It was still painful for fantasy, especially for Emmanuel Sanders. We've talked about how inconsistent he was. Demaryius was a little bit better. If they can get a quarterback that's got a nice live arm and is precise and they can protect that quarterback well, then I can't help but think that with all their running back issues and maybe a slight change in how that offense will be with Mike McCoy there instead of Gary Kubiak, maybe they'll be a little more aggressive and maybe that'll help Demaryius Thomas and even to an extent Emmanuel Sanders be helpful for fantasy owners next year.
So I was reading a story about their potential interest in Andrew Whitworth if he becomes free from the Bengals.
The left tackle.
That they want to be a power rushing offense under Mike McCoy to start the season. To Dave's point, whether that plays itself out, who knows. I think the interesting thing with them will be is it Trevor Siemian, who we've seen and really, I don't know has a lot more upside than what he showed last year. Certainly he had some good moments, but not necessarily that much of a difference maker. Whereas Paxton Lynch may be a difference maker, just to answer your question, Adam, in terms of the quarterbacks on their roster. Now, clearly this conversation changes if they get Tony Romo, because if that happens, then you have the much higher ceiling because of what we've seen. So I think this is one of those situations where it's hard to answer. But if it's Simeon as the starter, that will not make me happy about drafting Demaryius Thomas or Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, I really don't care for Emmanuel Sanders. He had four games with double-digit fantasy points. He had two monster games with 20 fantasy points. Sanders was pretty worthless for 9 or 10 games. He did get hurt in one of them, but he finished as a top 24 wide receiver. He's just never as consistent as his final standing would lead you to believe. But I don't really see a reason why Demaryius Thomas can't still be a great elite wide receiver, like if they get the offense going in the right direction. I mean, they had one of the worst offenses in football and one of the worst quarterback situations 2 years in a row, I'd say. Thomas still catches 90 or more balls, 5 straight seasons. There's nothing about him that makes me think he can't be a great player again, statistically.
Sure.
I don't think he's lost it. All right. My wish list for the Broncos. We doing this? I think they need to do something about the altitude. You know, modern technology, like, they should be able to figure something out. It's everybody should play at the same rules, same altitude. It's a little unfair for the kicking game, I think.
What do you suggest they do?
I don't know. I'm not a scientist, Dave.
Scientist and barometric pressure expert Adam Azer.
Yeah.
You don't have an answer?
No, I don't.
You don't want them to, like, dig a mile down into the ground in Denver and
maybe that's it.
Place a stadium there.
After hearing this, I hope this podcast does not make it out.
You never know. All right, Kansas City, they need a new stud running back. We just talked about this. New stud running back. Okay, I think we covered that.
Yeah, we did. Andy Reid at the Pro Bowl said, yeah, we're good with the guys we got. You know, 25 is just focused on getting healthy and getting back on the field. I don't see why they should keep him, not at the price tag that he's got. If he took a pay cut, that's a different story. And even if he did, I'm not convinced he'll ever be the guy that he once was or that he'll even get the workload that he once got. So you want to talk about a guy that can move down our rankings real fast? It could be Jamaal Charles.
Jamaal Charles is 30. So if he's the starting running back for the Chiefs.
That the age doesn't worry me here as much as just all the injuries that he's taken on the last 24 months.
Would you, if he's a starting running back, would you rather have Jamaal Charles or Jeremy Hill?
Gosh. if when you say he's the starting running back, you mean specifically that he's the lead guy for Kansas City?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think I'd rather have Hill because I'm nervous that Charles won't last a long time, and I don't know. You know what might sell it for me? Who's the backup in Kansas City? If it's somebody who I can draft late and handcuff to Charles, then maybe I'll take that combo over Jeremy Hill.
It's Spencer Ware plus some third round pick.
So it's status quo in
mostly
Kansas City.
Yeah.
That's a gross question. I think I'd rather just have Hill so I can have one roster spot clogged rather than two.
Okay. My wish list for the Chiefs, better uniforms. I think their uniforms are kind of ugly.
Better uniforms?
Yeah, I don't like their uniform. I love their logo.
You don't like the arrowhead?
Love the logo. Logo's great. I think they have an ugly color. All right, let's move on.
Now you're a fashion consultant.
Oakland. Latavius Murray not to re-sign. That was from Dave. Jamie, would you like to see Latavius Murray not re-sign in Oakland?
No, I like to see him stay.
Why?
Why? Because I don't think he's going to get a featured role anywhere else.
I think if he leaves, it's to get a featured role. And he won't have this weird thing happen to him that happened last year where he suddenly stops getting a lot of work. And now we talked about this on Wednesday, Adam. There were several games where he did have a lot of touches. And the production was at times great and at times okay. I think we all expected a little bit more from Latavius Murray.
It was tough. He got a lot of touchdowns, but as you pointed out, he had like two, maybe three games Latavius Murray with 100 yards.
100 total yards, right?
Yeah.
I think it was 4 with 100 total and 2 with 100 rushing. Don't hold me to that. That just sounds familiar.
Yeah, this seemed more like a Latavius Murray wish list than a Raiders wish list, right? Is that fair?
Sure.
You'd like to
Because I think the Raiders are going to use multiple running backs no matter what. And if they let Latavius Murray go, they can give that job to Washington and Rashard. And then it's a two-headed backfield instead of a three-headed backfield. For fantasy, that would be a plus. But this is a team that I think is just going to throw the ball a lot anyway. And that's really what I want from the Raiders, is pass, 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 pass.
Okay. We can go to Jamie's wish list for the San Diego Chargers.
They're not in San Diego anymore.
The Los Angeles Chargers. But first, my wish list item for the Raiders is I'd like them to move to L.A. L.A. needs more football teams, and they should be there. Better than Vegas. And, like, the Oakland I'm sorry. I hear all this great stuff about Oakland fans and the black hole and all that. Every time I watch their games, like, they got tarp up on the upper deck. I'm sorry. I know they've been bad for a while, but they don't show up. So, I moved to L.A. Jamie, your wish list for the Chargers. I'm not going to make a lot of friends today. Danny Woodhead, don't come back.
Yes.
That would be great. That would be so great.
We saw how good Melvin Gordon was last year. I don't know if he would have been that much worse given how his production was in 2016 with Woodhead on the field, because he was, in a lot of ways, especially early in the season, touchdown dependent. But the playing time was there, and he proved that he can handle the full workload, and he's a capable enough receiver. And so I think just the fact that Woodhead being there and Phillip Rivers' reliance on him would impact Gordon in a negative way. So Woodhead moving on would be good for the Melvin Gordon owners.
This might hurt Phillip Rivers a little bit, but I'll take that ding on Rivers to get Gordon locked up as an every down back.
Yes.
And a first round pick in fantasy. And Woodhead could go and he could help another quarterback somewhere else.
Okay. That works for me. And my wishlist item for the Chargers is to leave LA. So the Raiders could come. The Chargers should go somewhere else. Back to San Diego, I'd like. And I think the most important thing is that Los Angeles, according to a recent study that came out a couple days ago, they have the worst traffic in the world. So we can't have three teams there. So let's move the Chargers back to San Diego.
Back to San Diego?
Yeah, I think so. They kind of want to be there.
Wouldn't that be awkward? Isn't that kind of like going back to your ex after breaking up with her?
Sometimes that works. Sometimes people get back together and stay together.
Like, you're the one that breaks up with the ex, and you do it in this bombastic way. Like, you give her a cake that says, I'm breaking up with you, and the cake is made out of guacamole.
I think really the girl dumped the Chargers in this situation. It's the city did not vote for them to come back.
Well, somebody left town, and now they're going to come back to town with their dusty old hat in their hand, and they're going to say, let's get back together. And the town's just supposed to say, okay, yeah, sure, let's forget about that weird but delicious guacamole cake. And let's do this the right way, bucko. I don't think that's going to happen. I think your wish is terrible. And to compound the terrible wishes, I think the Chargers should be the team that goes to Vegas, not the Raiders. Because I agree with you. The Raiders should be in California somewhere.
Right.
And the Chargers don't have any fans in Los Angeles. And they don't have any fans in San Diego who are going to come up to see them in Los Angeles. So let them start fresh and anew in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada.
All right, I can deal with it. I can be amenable. I can deal with that. Let's go to the NFC East. Jamie, for the Cowboys, the wishlist item is a number two wide receiver to start opposite Dez Bryant. What do you think?
Yes, they need somebody better than Terrence Williams. And so does that mean going and get Alshon Jeffrey or Deshaun Jackson? It's probably not going to happen, but get somebody young in there.
All right, so if we think about this, what would be – when you say they need that, you know, you could say, well, they've done just fine with their ground and pound offense. They barely throw the ball. Do they really need that? Who would it help? Like, why would you want to see it? Because I feel like they don't throw the ball enough for this second wide receiver. If they draft someone for me to, you know, if it's Jeffrey, it's one thing. But if they just like draft a wide receiver, they don't throw the ball enough for me to get excited about it. They have an identity. I don't know that they're going to change it. What kind of impact would a number two wide receiver have on the Cowboys?
Well, how would you like, let's say, I don't know. So is 42 catches a lot and an offense doesn't throw the ball a lot?
No.
Terrence Williams had 44 last year.
Okay, so there you go, 44.
No, that's
not
a lot.
Would you save that receiver average? Let's say he's a deep guy, like 16 plus yards per catch.
Oh, that's not, that'd be nice.
Right. Let's say that led to, I don't know, 7-8 touchdowns.
Yeah, sure. That'd be great.
Kenny Stills.
But if that happened, that's not, I mean, look, you know me. I don't love those deep threat wide receivers that are dependent on the big play. And also, would that hurt Dez Bryant? Because he's the touchdown dominator year after year. Would that hurt Dez?
Sure. The more impressive the wide receiver that comes in, and certainly the better playmaker, the better caliber of receiver, that's the best way to say it, the more it'll hurt Dez Bryant's potential. But it'll also hurt Cole Beasley, who had 75 catches last year. It'll hurt Jason Witten, who had 69 catches last year.
It's Beasley that's the one that gets impacted the most.
I think it depends on what type of receiver it is. And if it's a guy who's
an outside guy to stretch the field.
But it's okay, fine. And that's not what Terrence Williams was. I don't think that's
exactly what Terrence
Butler,
Williams was.
But he didn't stretch the field.
He was intended to. He didn't.
He
but
didn't.
He was intended
so
to.
They need somebody. You're saying your candidate is Kenny Stills.
No. I don't think they signed Kenny Stills, but I'm saying
somebody like Kenny Stills.
I mean, you know, it could be a Will Fuller type guy in the draft. It could be, you know, somebody who's just looking to.
John Ross?
Maybe.
They take the chance on him, potentially with a first round pick. That's a guy with some big speed. I'll tell you who it's really going to help, Adam Azer.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to help you. It's going to help Dak Prescott.
Yes.
Who everybody, there's going to be trepidation in drafting him. I don't think there's anybody out there that's going to look at him and say, oh yeah, slam dunk. He's going to be a stud in fantasy. But if they add a good receiver to replace Terrence Williams, and obviously they're going to keep Dez and Beasley in the offensive line and Witten and Ezekiel Elliott, well, that just improves the quality of receiver that Dak is going to throw to. And maybe he throws a little bit more than he did last year when he was a rookie and thrust into the action. Maybe this year he can actually start to expand a little bit more and do more things. Wouldn't that be an amazing innovation by the Cowboys?
Yeah, I mean, look, so, the 2014 and 2016 were the last two good Cowboys years. 2015, Romo got hurt. They were a mess. In 2014, the Cowboys had the second fewest pass attempts in the NFL. In 2016, they had the third fewest pass attempts in the NFL. Maybe they go out, get a receiver, and they change their identity a little bit, and maybe they're more like the 8th or 10th fewest pass attempts. They're still going to be a running team, but a little bit more balanced and more production for Dak.
Well, Adam, look, this exercise wasn't intended to find, you know, the perfect situation for every team, so I don't know if there's much that's going to change Dallas.
No, I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying they're never going to be – I don't think they're ever going to be like a chucking around the field team.
Right, of course.
But they could be more balanced.
And again, your point is valid, and I don't think a lot of fantasy owners feel comfortable with the boom or bust receiver, especially if it's a two-receiver league where – you don't really necessarily have to rely on that. But in a three-receiver league, you know, where you're certainly looking at in a 14-team league or a 16-team league, where guys like Ted Ginn or Taylor Gabriel or Kenny Stills or Cameron Meredith or, you know, the guys that you don't know what you're going to get week in, week out, especially when they're in certain roles,
mm-hmm.
some of these guys have to be starters for you. And so it would be nice to have somebody that's a little bit more reliable, maybe than Terrence Williams, maybe in an unreliable role, but just a little bit more reliable.
Yeah, sure. In a good offense with a good quarterback, sure. Okay, my request for the Cowboys is to demolish their stadium and build a better, smaller one, more intimate environment for real football fans, and not have people lined up in the tunnel slapping five with the Cowboys as they come out onto the field. They have become a spectacle, and they need to get back to football.
You would be a horrible businessman.
No, maybe the shareholders wouldn't like me that much, but the people would love me. I'd be the Michael
Scott. I think he'd be a great businessman because he never spends money. He never leaves the house.
He wouldn't have a business. He would never start it. He'd be too busy playing Nintendo Classic and feeding his cat.
He actually could start a Nintendo playing cat watching sort of daycare.
Where he's got nothing but cats all over his house. Like people drop off their cats.
The cats, right.
Do people do that? They do that with dogs.
They don't do that with
cats. I don't think they do it with cats.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to go on eBay right now. What's your address?
No thanks. You can go on our registry, by the way. You could buy us something.
Where can we find that?
Can I buy you a cat?
On our website, which you're not allowed to give out. You can buy me a cat. Sure, I will gladly take it. All right.
I want to find this website. What if people want to buy you a wedding gift?
No, absolutely not. Don't give out the website. That's not a joke.
I don't even have it. I couldn't give it. I can make one up.
It's on your save the date. All right. The Giants. The Giants, a number two wide receiver. So this is from Dave. This was interesting. A number two wide receiver to start opposite Odell Beckham. And I said, don't they already have a number two wide receiver in Sterling Shepard? Granted, he's a slot receiver. But what do you want to see from the Giants?
I should amend that to say an outside receiver.
Okay. What about it? Would you rather them get an outside receiver or a tight end?
I can't have both. They can't get a wide receiver and a tight end.
Well, that doesn't make it.
You're going to say no.
That takes the fun out of it.
I'm going to say I want them to replace Victor Cruz with a good receiver who can almost stretch the field just like what we want in Dallas. I think that would help Eli Manning and his stats. I just don't think Victor Cruz was that good of a player for him last year. I think the stats bared that out. And I think Sterling Shepard is good. I don't think he's great. I think Odell's amazing. And if they had another target that could stretch defenses on the other side of the field, things would open up for Eli, over the middle for Shepard, over the middle for, say, Will Ty at tight end. I think the Giants would have a lot more fun and a lot more trouble for defenses to deal with on a week-to-week basis.
The obvious answer for the Giants on the wish list is offensive line upgrade.
Yes.
Oh, is that your wish for them?
My wish for them is cheaper tickets so I can go to the games. But if it's not that, I would take offensive line upgrade.
Somebody's got a block for AP.
I thought that Adam would actually have like a good normal wish for the Giants, and that would be so Giants fan of you, is to come up with all this crazy crap like drilling into the ground for the Broncos' new stadium.
Right.
Or changing the Chiefs' jerseys. Are you mad? And instead you're selfish. And you talk about how you need cheaper tickets. Meanwhile, technically you're a member of the media. You could go to any game you want to for free.
That's not true. Then I'd have to write a story about it. I'm the worst writer.
Oh, Adam's got to work.
It'd be such a bad story.
How about you go to the game and you get us an interview or two for the podcast?
Fine, I could do that.
See, that's working.
Oh, he'd be miserable. He'd have to stay there.
He'd have to go into the locker room after. Have you ever been in an NFL locker room, Adam?
No.
Have you ever been in a locker room ever?
Oh, yeah. No, baseball and basketball a lot. But I don't think NFL. No.
I was thinking like high school. Like, did you even go in your high school locker room to change?
I was an athlete, Dave Richard. I'm not a bad athlete for someone
chess
my size.
Chess is not a sport, Adam.
I suck at chess. All right, let's go on to the Eagles. Staying with the wide receivers. We don't want a number two wide receiver. We want a top-tier wide receiver, maybe even multiple in free agency and the draft. Upgrade your wide receiver unit, Philadelphia. Jamie, your thoughts.
Look, they need receiver help in the worst way.
Draft one, sign one.
Sign one for sure, because Alshon Jeffrey or DeSean Jackson would dramatically help Carson Wentz. And the one thing that makes me concerned about it, and it's not fair to this regime, but the last few receivers that they've drafted have not been great. And so they wasted a first-round pick on Nelson Agholor. Jordan Matthews has been good, not great. You know, we'll see if they can, you know, turn Doyle Green Beckham around with the trade that they made last year, but I don't know if that's going to happen. So do they have a good eye for talent at that spot? Hard to say. Maybe sign a proven guy, maybe sign two proven guys. You know, maybe it's spend big on one of the two, you know, high-priced guys out there and then go get one of the next-tier guys. You know, I don't know if it's like a Pierre Garçon type of a player, but, you know, certainly add to that position, because as we saw last year, despite this mediocre receiving core, Adam, you alluded to this on an earlier show, that Carson Wentz, when Lane Johnson was healthy and they had a good offensive line, he played really well.
He did.
And so could that lead to better production from this passing game if, in fact, there are better playmakers around him?
Who's their field stretcher right now?
Right now?
Mm-hmm. It's not Green Beckham. It's not Matthews. Is it Agholor? That's as good as having Sammy Coates.
Could be Bryce Treggs.
Could be Bryce Treggs. I don't think it's Paul Turner. They need to reunite with DeSean Jackson. Makes sense. And it makes sense for DeSean.
I'd rather see Alshon, to be honest with you. But
is he a field stretcher? He can do it? I don't know if that's
necessary in the type of offense that they run. But again, do you have, I don't know what their cap situation is, do you have the money to spend on a Jeffrey? See, the way I look at it, as to me, DeSean Jackson's not a true number one receiver.
You're right. He's not. Not
Jeffrey
anymore.
Is.
Right.
And I would say of the free agent guys, Terrell Pryor is more of a number one guy.
If he shakes loose from Cleveland.
Then Deshaun. No, I'm just saying. Well, he's a free agent, so he can go wherever he wants.
Not if he's franchised.
True. But as of right now, he's not. So is it make sense for them to get one of whoever that may be, Jeffrey Pryor or Jackson? Those are the three best free agents out there. Like, don't settle for Kenny Britt. You know what I mean?
I've already told you that 20 teams are over $30 million in salary cap space. The Eagles are one of four teams with less than $10 million in cap space. Now, they're going to cut some players. They'll get up there.
Yes, one guy they need to cut is Ryan Matthews.
I don't know if they can prioritize Alshon enough because he's going to be expensive. He's the prize at wide receiver.
Is he really not going to be on the Bears next year?
I don't think they're franchising him.
You don't think
they're
so?
Not? They've already made that clear.
Yeah, I think they're going to let him walk.
Wow, okay.
Well, they could still work out a deal with him, but they're not going to franchise him.
Okay. My wish for the Eagles is this. NFL draft is in Philadelphia. Round three comes around. Santa Claus makes the pick for the Eagles. This, you have to repair the Philadelphia-Santa Claus relationship. You've got the NFL draft finally. Like, Santa Claus makes a pick, puts everything, all that ugly past in the rearview mirror, and we can move forward and enjoy Christmas again in Philly. Okay? All right. Washington, a stud running back for the Redskins. This was a Dave Richards suggestion. Are you not a Rob Kelly guy?
First of all, you're really going to have somebody dress up like Santa Claus in late April.
Yes.
And go to the podium and, ho, 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 the Eagles take so-and-so.
Merry Christmas. Yes, an early Christmas present. Yes, how funny would that be, right? Right?
It would be especially funny if the player that Santa Claus drafted turned either into a bust or like the next Tom Brady.
And, oh,
like
they
the next
hate.
Great out-of-nowhere guy.
And if it was a bust, though, that would be bad.
That was part of the legacy of that player, is Santa Claus going out there and making the pick. You've had a bunch of horrible wishes, Adam. Thank you for your contribution.
Not an easy
podcast.
Exercise. Not an easy one.
Rob Kelly's a good running back. He's not a great running back. And this is an offense that might change their identity quite a bit if they lose DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon, Josh Doctson. It looks like he's running receiver drills right now, so he's on the right path to coming back and playing. We don't know what he's going to be like. This might be a team that decides to get a little more run heavy moving forward, which would actually be bad for Kirk Cousins, who I have ranked as a top 10 quarterback. Jamie, I'm sure you do too. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see them add a running back who is dynamic. You know, Kansas City, they can move up and draft a running back. I don't know if Washington's the type of team that'll do that, but Dalvin Cook or Leonard Fournette in that offense would help a lot.
They have too many needs at wide receiver.
And they've got needs at defense as well. So I don't see them doing something like that. Maybe they're a team that makes an upgrade at running back in free agency.
I doubt it. I mean, between.
Do you think they stick with Rob Kelly and treat him like he's...
I think Kelly did enough in this offense to deserve the starting role last year. They have their pass catcher in Chris Thompson. They have what should be a capable backup in Matt Jones, who, you know, unfortunately has a hard time staying healthy, but is a physical guy. I don't think that's a position of need at all. Wide receiver is such a glaring hole for them right now because Deshaun's a free agent, Pierre Garçon's a free agent. Right now their starting receivers are Jamison Crowder and Josh Doctson. Josh Doctson's still not 100% from last year's Achilles injury. So if wide receiver is not the number one priority for this team, aside from locking up Kirk Cousins to a long-term deal, which does not look like it's going to happen, their offense is going to be a joke.
Yeah.
They have almost $59 million in cap space. Assume that $24 million of that is going to go to Kirk Cousins. Do they have enough to go after Alshon Jeffrey?
Oh, I would say so.
And I think that would be a great upgrade over Garçon.
And they haven't ruled out bringing back those two guys either.
They could bring back one of them and get Alshon.
Sure.
Okay. Well, that's the NFC East. And my wish, this one I think you're going to like. My wish for the Redskins, I would like for them to have alternate black jerseys, alternate black uniforms. I think they'd be pretty badass.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, thank
you. That would be cool for almost every NFL team.
Yeah, I could see that, but I would really like it for the Redskins. So, those are your real and fake wishes for the AFC West and the NFC East. Two quick emails, guys. This is from Chris in a sad cubicle in Florida. It's very disappointing. Let's turn that frown upside down.
Cubicle next to mine. That's where Chris Towers sits.
Yeah, but Chris isn't really all that happy. He's just kind of even Steven. But he's not sad.
He's got the This Is Fine meme dog as a stuffed animal on his desk.
Oh, that's...
I don't know if that's been made clear to the audience yet.
It says a lot about Chris. 12-team PPR, three keepers. He's keeping David Johnson, Jordy Nelson, and Davante Adams in the 4th, 5th, and 15th rounds. So David Johnson in the 4th, Jordy in the 5th, Davante Adams in the 15th.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's good.
Our league does a draft order auction where we bid for draft slots to increase the winner's pot. So you can pay for the number one pick. Would you pay $25 to $30 to lock up Le'Veon to get the number one pick, get Le'Veon Bell, and he would have Le'Veon, David Johnson, Jordy, and Davante Adams? This is like real money that's going in the pot, not auction dollars.
Wow.
What's the buy-in for the league?
How much does it have to be to make this worthwhile?
Let's say $100. Just make it.
I'm doing it.
You're spending $130 to lock up Le'Veon.
Yeah. What? I'm buying, at the very least,
$40.
I would look at it as I'm buying.
I get it. Yeah, $40.
A playoff spot. Yeah.
$50.
Yeah.
$60.
Maybe.
So 50 is your tipping point.
Sure. So if this is a league where it's $20 to get in, I'm not going to pay more than double. When everybody, because the price pool even worth it at that point?
Sure. Right. Right. All right, this is from Jeff in Chattanooga.
By the way, that seems like a really unfair way to conduct a fantasy league.
Oh, but yeah.
Everybody's the same
because
option.
Because what if some billionaire joins your league and drops $1,000
bucks? Well, I would
imagine
that they
team.
Know what the spending is of everybody in the league.
There should be a cap on it, and there should be some sort of benefit for those who don't spend.
I would almost say it was more fun, like you make like a humiliation pool, and you have everybody spend the humiliation pool. Whoever actually fulfills doing their tasks on the humiliation pool.
What does that have to do with the draft?
They get the first
pick. You just want people to humiliate themselves in general?
Absolutely.
If they actually go through with it. All right, last one, guys. This is a keeper question from Jeff in Chattanooga. He's keeping Julio, Demaryius, Jordy, and Hyde. Julio, Demaryius Thomas, Jordy Nelson, and Hyde. It's PPR. Would you keep Eddie Lacy or Russell Wilson?
I mean, when does he have to decide? Because if it's right now, I'd say Russell Wilson.
Okay. What if Lacy goes to the Raiders?
I'd keep Russell Wilson.
I would lean toward Wilson.
Is there a scenario
if he stays
where you're
in Green Bay
Lacy?
Though, and they don't add anybody else? I'd say Lacy.
Okay.
I'm getting that feeling about Seattle next year. I think they'll be good, really good.
And Jeff says he was watching Ghostbusters 2 and knows why I like it so much. It takes place in December. It's therefore a Christmas movie due to its many holiday references. False. It's a New Year's movie. Very clearly a New Year's movie. So that's why I like Ghostbusters.
But that also takes place in December.
That's true.
That's
so
fine.
Jeff is not wrong.
Ghostbusters 2, New Year's movie, Die Hard Christmas movie.
Goodbye. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week.
I've got a wish for you, Adam.
Go ahead.
That you have a very nice week.
Thanks, Dave. Good job. See, it's not that easy. For Dave Richard and JB Eisenberg, I'm Adam Azer. Talk to you next week, everybody.
Thank you. Don't put yourself on glass.
Bye.